The very end of Sefer Vayikra, the very end of Parshas Bechukosai, Torah has a mitzvah of Maaser Behema, mitzvah 360, Shin Samach, in the count of the Sefer Achinuch, begins by defining the mitzvah La'aser called Behemos Tahoros. If you're a Jewish farmer who's raising kosher Behemos, kosher domesticated animals, cattle, sheep, or goats, you take a tenth of the young animals that were born over the past year. Every year, you take a tenth of the animals that were born. Hanoladoz be'edreinu b'chol shana v'shana, ulahaviha ma'aser liyushalayim la'achlosham. You take that ma'aser, and you bring 10% of the animals born this past year to Yerushalayim, and you eat the animals in Yerushalayim. After having brought the chalev and the blood, chalev fats and the blood at the mizbeach. In other words, maaser behema is a korban. It's a korban. It's a kache kalim. It's the lesser level, the tier two karbanos, like the shlamim. But even within the tier two karbanos, it's if you say Ez El Makomon, you know that the Maser, like Bechor and Pesach, require the least involvement in Beis HaMikdash in terms of how much the blood is applied to the Mizbeach and so forth. So you do have to pour the blood on the Mizbeach, and the Chela fats are offered burnt on the top surface of the Mizbeach. And after that, you eat them in Yerushalayim. Now the language of the Sefer Achinuch in the opening line is already intriguing. And he doesn't say, oh, these are, you bring them as a korban, and then afterwards you get to eat a part. He says the mitzvah is to take maaser, to bring it to Yerushalayim, and to eat it in Yerushalayim. And almost like a footnote, he says, you know, before you can eat it, you need to process it as a korban, you know, offer the chalav and dam in the Beis HaMikdash, at the Mizbeach. But it sounds like the basic mitzvah is to designate maaser and to eat it in Yerushalayim. Bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. That's fascinating. The maaser hakarbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, the carbon procedure Beis HaMikdash, seems secondary. And that's true by the carbon Pesach to an extent, from a halachic perspective, in terms of the halachas of karbonos, halachas of kodshim. Carbon Pesach is unique in terms of the significance given to the eating. The eating of the Carbon Pesach is much more central in terms of, from a kodshim perspective, than eating of a carbon is by any other carbon. And there, by the Carbon Pesach, we understand it well, because the Carbon Pesach is meant to serve as a centerpiece for the Leil HaSeder, in an ideal Seder taking place in Yerushalayim during the time of Beis HaMikdash. The Karban Pesach is the halachic centerpiece of the Seder table. So we understand Achilas HaPesach is very central to the identity of the Karban Pesach. The Achilas HaPesach is the driving force and the driving purpose of Karban Pesach, is to have Achilas HaPesach as a part of the Leil HaSeder. So the centrality of eating the Karban Pesach is understandable in at Carbon Pesach. But it's intriguing and a little puzzling here. Maaser Behema, I don't know, I would have thought it's carbon. If the mitzvah to set aside a tenth, we probably would have assumed that, look, the primary mitzvah of a tenth is, as we've seen with many other such mitzvahs, truma and maaser, when you have a crop, and so on and so forth, the minhag of maaser ksafim. The idea is to remind yourself that Kadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. I worked for months to produce whatever the product is, whether it's agricultural, or it's financial, or here it's the animals that I've been raising. I take off a part and remind myself, really, it's all from Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you sort of expect to hear by Maaser Behema as well. And you expect that the central theme would be to take off a tenth of this year's brood of the animals, young animals that have been born, and bring it as a carbon base. I meant to remind yourself, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Bikurim. That's what you would have expected. that's not the way the Sefer HaChinuch defines the mitzvah. Even the opening lines, in the thumbnail portrait, the one sentence summary of what is this mitzvah, it's not primarily to take maaser and bring it as a carbon. It's primarily to take maaser and eat it in Yerushalayim. The carbon piece is secondary. How come? So let's skip down to the paragraph that begins, Misharashe HaMitzvah. And when we look at how the Sefer HaChinuch looks at the ideas that the mitzvah of Maaser Behemah is driving, what are the themes, what are the ideals, how is this mitzvah supposed to develop us, it's really not so much about bringing it as a carbon, and it's primarily about eating it in Yerushalayim. What's the great significance of eating the Maaser Behemah specifically in Yerushalayim? Look, the rest of the other 9/10 of the animals that were born stay on my farm, wherever that farm is located. I may choose to raise them to adulthood. I may choose to use them for milk, for wool, or I may choose to slaughter them and use them as meat. But somehow eating them in Yerushalayim, that's special. Why? So let's take a look. And we'll see, as we take a look, that as is typically the case, the Sharashe, the perspective on the Sharashe mitzvah, take a mitzvah that might seem abstruse, that might seem obscure, like Maaser Behemah. None of us have fulfilled, no Jew has fulfilled Maaser Behemah in countless centuries. And I imagine most people on this call don't have a herd of animals with or without Maaser Behemah. But yet, the concept, while the specific practice of Maaser Behemah in particular may not be a part of our lives, but the concept of it can be. And once you understand what the concepts behind it are, we can figure out a way in the realities of our lives to apply the principle, the spirit of Maaser Behemah. So what is the spirit of Maaser Behemah? What are the Sharashe HaMitzvah? So let's roll up our sleeves and get to work. Sefer Chinuch writes, Misharashe HaMitzvah, some of the roots of the mitzvah include Sha'akel Baruch Hu Bochar Ba'am Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Jewish people. V'chafetz L'man Tzidko Li'oz Kulam Ozkei Tarasso V'yodishmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in providing us the opportunity to learn His Torah, to know Him, literally to know His name. It's a Yodei Shemecha, that's a phrase we use daily in Birkas HaTorah. It's an important phrase to consider, what that means. To be Osek in Torah, to be involved in learning Torah, is to thereby come to know His name, to know, understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban and others write, we don't, to talk about the name of Hashem, we can speak in approximate terms, by thinking about what it means to have a name of a person. To know someone's name, obviously, is to be on more intimate terms, right? To be on a first-name basis. To know usually corresponds to knowing something about him. Sometimes I know someone's title that may or may not give me a sense of something about him. I know his name. That either is a doorway to knowing the person better, or is an indicator of knowing the person better on more intimate terms. So through learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, we come to, so to speak, know His name. We come to understand more of Elokus, and come to understand more, still imperfectly, but more, albeit imperfectly, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in us having that opportunity to learn His Torah, to understand more about Him, and to come to be changed and improved and enlightened through learning Torah. Now, that the chosen nation spend time and invest in learning and knowing Torah is so important, and there's something, obviously, that's on our minds and in the final weeks as we approach Shavuos. Limud HaTorah and Yediyas HaTorah is so important that B'chach Maso was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great wisdom, Mishacham B'mitzvah Zu, L'man Yilmadu Yikchu Musa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu drew us,
Hashem Baruch Hu draws us to Esek HaTorah, to Yediyas Shemo. Hashem Baruch Hu draws us to Torah study through the mitzvah of Ma'aser Behemah. That's a surprise. Ma'aser Behemah, Limud HaTorah, what do they have to do with each other? How does Ma'aser Behemah lead to Yediyas HaTorah? And he keeps going. So the man Yilbenu Yikcha Musar. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to be involved in the Torah so that we'll learn not only to know Torah, but Yikcha Musar. They will change our behavior. And where's the connection to Ma'aser Behemah? He explains. Ki Yodei Elokim, Shrov B'nei Adam M'shachan Acha Chomer HaPachas. B'shagam U'basar. Look, the reality of life is that most people are drawn purely by physical needs. That's what physical need, physical desire drives most of our decision making. It drives decision making in most people. It's very hard to continually set aside time and emotional energy, such scarce resources. Right? Time is the one resource that we need, that is not renewable. And we can't compensate for lost time. It's a very precious resource. Emotional headspace, emotional energy. To be able to invest those, to allocate a chunk of those, of our time, of our emotional energy, of our headspace in Limud Torah, is not natural. It's not what we would do automatically. It's very important, and it's very healthy, and it's very good for us to invest time and energy in Limud Torah, but it's not the thing that we would, left to our own devices of inertia, naturally do. We need to push ourselves to invest in Amal HaTorah. We naturally just sort of go with the flow. We'll be drawn by passing physical desires and whims. So Al-Kain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was well aware of the human psyche. After all, he created it. He designed it. Al-Kain sibeiv b'tvunaso, v'nasan lehem makom she'idu ha'kol dibei toraso al-kapanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted people, set up a system that would make it more natural for people to end up learning more. Ein safek ki kol adam nimshach l'kbod yiraso b'makom shem mamono sham. People naturally will plant themselves and spend time where your money is, where your stuff is. That's the concept behind Erev Truman and Erev Chatzeres. You live to an extent where the food is. So people naturally want to be around their stuff. So he says, aha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says every year there's going to be an ongoing flow, a significant amount of food that can be eaten only in Yerushalayim. B'halos kol ish maser kol bakar v'tzon shalosh shana shana. Every year, you have to take a maser of the calves, of the young lambs. Every year, you bring 10% of them to where? To Yerushalayim, which is makom she'esek ha'chachma v'ha'torah sham. The place which is the center of Chachmas HaTorah, the Yerushalayim. After all, Sham Sanhedrin, Yodei Das Mevinei Mada. We think of the Beis HaMikdash as a place of Karbanos, and it certainly is, but that's one aspect of the Beis HaMikdash. But Karbanos are not exhaustive. Karbanos are but one aspect of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a lot going on. Beis HaMikdash was a center for so much of Yahadus. The Gemara tells us, based on Psukim and the Chumash, that the Sanhedrin, ideal location for the Sanhedrin, is very in close proximity to the Mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash. Sanhedrin is, they are the central source of Torah Shebaal Peh. The most authoritative copies of Torah Shebichsav were the Sifrei Azar, the Sifrei Torah, they were in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's Beis HaMikdash is the center of Torah Shebichsav, and Beis HaMikdash is the center of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's where the Sanhedrin is. Yerushalayim as a whole, and Beis HaMikdash in particular, is going to be the headquarters and the epicenter of Limud HaTorah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to see to it that Jewish people would end up spending quality time in Yerushalayim, soaking up the learning and soaking up the ambiance that's saturated with learning. The number one, 10% of the young animals of every year eaten only Yerushalayim. And there are other foods that also are meant to be eaten by all Jews, but only Yerushalayim. Kemo ke na'ale l'sham, maser tevoraseinu ba'ar b'shnei ha'shmita. 4 out of every 7 years, a Jewish farmer separates 9% of his crop as maser sheni. And maser sheni is not given to anyone. You do not give it as a gift to the Kohanim. You do not give maser sheni as a gift to the Levim. You do not give maser sheni as a gift to the poor. You eat it yourself, but only in Yerushalayim. So most years, you're bringing close to, after you take off Maaser Rishon, you have 90% left, you take a tenth of that, is 9%. So you have 9% of your crop in most years is eaten on Yerushalayim. If you're raising animals, every year 10% of the new animals eaten on Yerushalayim. V'chein netzer ravai, if you run an orchard, so the first 3 years of a tree, the fruits are arla. If any fruits grow, they may not be eaten whatsoever. In the fourth year, they call that neta ravai. That's the growth of the fourth year. And that's the same status as maser sheni. Is eaten in Yerushalayim. Any Jew can eat it. You have to be tahar. Any tahar Jew can eat it. Kohen Levi Yisrael doesn't matter. Men, women, doesn't matter. But only in Yerushalayim. Only Dznech al Sham. So he says, well, what's going to happen? If the halacha sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up enough mitzvahs that we'll have a Jewish farmer in Eretz Yisrael is going to have a steady flow of food that he's allowed to eat. He doesn't have to give it to the Kohen, the Levi, the Ani, or anyone else. He's allowed to eat it, but only Yerushalayim. So that's where there's essentially free food in Yerushalayim. What's that going to generate? As well, I'll call upon him, O Yeilech Sham Bal Hamamon Atzma Lilmo Torah, either the member, the head of the household, the Baal HaBayis, the farmer will himself spend time in Yerushalayim. Look, if 4 out of 7 years, 10% of your crop, close 10% of your crop has to be in Yerushalayim, so that means in those years, you're going to spend close to 10% of the weeks of the year eating there. Or something like that, more or less. You're going to be spending several weeks a year, at least, in Yerushalayim, eating this food. You have this food to eat, but only in Yerushalayim. So either the Baal HaBayis, the head of the household, will spend time in Yerushalayim eating and learning Torah. Or Yishlach L'Sham Echa Mibanav, Shilmad Sham V'yin Nizom Ba'osnam Be'ez. Or else, he'll send one of the children. Maybe he won't go, one of the kids will go. We'll send one of the kids to yeshiva. We'll go learn Yerushalayim. Your needs are a Reuben board is taken care of. Here's Maaser Sheni. Take it along. Here's Maaser Behema. Take it along. Mitoch kach, the Sefer Chaim continues. Now, try to picture the ripple effect. So what does that mean? So the mitzvah gets the understanding. It says the first step is to realize that if there's a mitzvah to eat, set this aside, eat it only Yerushalayim. That means we're going to be spending time. We're going to be kovei adir, as I said before. You have all this food. You're going to be living there, at least to an extent. You're going to have a second home in Yerushalayim, or at least you'll rent an apartment. You find a place to stay in Yerushalayim for at least several weeks a year. Or maybe one or two members of the family will be there for months at a time, learning and eating this food. And then there's the second step. Mitoch kach yeh b'chol bayis u'bayis mikol Yisrael ish Chacham Yodeya HaTorah. If every family is sending at least one or two members to Yerushalayim to learn, so every family will have a resident, Talmud Chacham. Think about that. For every Jewish home to have a resident Chacham, Asher Yilmad B'Chachmaso Kobe, Asher Yilamei B'Chachmaso Kobe Zavim. And he's going to share what he knows with the rest of his family. So that creates a Jewish nation that's learned. He says it's a remarkable system. He says a simple mitzvah of Maser Behema, of Maser Sheni, of Neter Ravai, ends up seeding each home with a Talmud Chacham, seeding each home with a Ben Torah, who is a Yodea Sefer, who can turn around and share what he knows with the rest of the family. And he says, it's not enough to have Rabbanim. Kim Chacham Echad Levad Yiyah Be'ir, Afilu Asara. You have a Talmud Chacham in town. You have a Minyan, you have a Kol in town. That's very nice, but it's not sufficient. You har baby bnei adu should be here. B'choshkei ha'noshim ha'il adu. So you have all of them, ki in pamachas b'shana. There'll be plenty of people in town, men, and even more likely among women and children, who will not be exposed on a regular basis to the municipal Talmid Chachamim. Maybe once a year they'll meet the Talmid Chacham. Or it says, or afilu yishmu devarim pam b'shavua. Even if they hear their rabbi speak every week. You go hear the rabbi speak outside the home, then you come home. If there isn't Talmud Torah in the home, yilchu habayis. People may go hear the Talmud Chacham give a shiur once a week, but then they come home. Yeshlichu kol divrei chacham achar gevim. There's a danger that you went to shul to hear a beautiful shiur. You went to shul to hear a beautiful drasha. You went to yeshiva to learn, but what happens when you come home? Do the divrei Torah saturate the home, or does the home push out the divrei Torah? Does it not fit? He says it's not enough to have learning out there. There needs to be a Talmud Chacham in the home. If because of Maser Behema, Maser Sheni, and Neter Ravai, every family, every household has at least one or two learned members. See, he's in the house. It becomes part of the conversation. A Talmud Chacham in the home, a Ben Torah in the home raises the ambiance, raises the spiritual level within the house. And you're having halachic conversations. And it's Yazirim Talmud. As you kulam, anashim v'nashim v'yiladim, muzharim v'omdim. It may not be the case that every single member of the family becomes a Talmud Chacham. Maybe, maybe not. But at least every single member of the family becomes more sensitized to halachic observance, becomes more sensitized to divrei Torah. Muzharim v'omdim. V'yimatzei v'neim shum dvar chet v'yavon. And that's going to, over time, seek to push out Avera, seek to eliminate Avera. If we're living in constant contact with Talmid Chachamim, if our homes are suffused with Talmud Torah, if Talmud Torah becomes a driver of the conversation, of the ambience in the home, so that's transformative. V'yizku l'mashek hasuv v'nasati mishkani b'sochachem v'yisem li la'am. My Mishkan will be among you. It's a fascinating insight by Sefer HaChinuch. It doesn't just mean that there'll be a Mishkan in the Jewish people. There'll be a functioning Beis HaMikdash. V'besochechem, it's going to trickle into the home, into on a granular level. Every household becomes a Mishkan, because every household houses an Aron, so to speak. Every household houses a Talmud Chacham. Every household becomes a platform, a staging ground for conversations about learning, for conversations about halachic observance, for conversations about what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu expect of us? Be'am l'chaveru, be'am l'makom, integrity, honesty, care, concern, yirah shamayim, ve'yisem li la'am, v'anochi ayyem l'chem melukim. And then we take a quantum leap forward in terms of being truly a growing into the potential that we have being a Kadosh Baruch Hu's people. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu truly being our Elohim. A Kadosh Baruch Hu being a presence in our lives. That is the power of Talmud Torah. Learning Torah transforms who we are. Learning Torah can transform how we live. And seeking to figure out ways to bring Talmud Torah into our home. And as we see with Maser Behema, you may have to think about structures that make it happen more naturally. Because as you open, it's hard. Learning on a regular basis is not easy. Learning on a regular basis, and especially to be able to put in real time and headspace, and mental effort, emotional energy. It's a hard, it's a tall order. So to figure out systems that can work, and an example is Maser Behema. And to think about ambiance, and to think about making sure that Torah does not just something they do out there, but that Torah becomes a part of the conversation in the home. And B'nai Torah in the home can help to make that transformation. And if the Baal HaBayis himself is not the driving Ben Torah in the home, he can be at least, as is the case of Maser Behema, the one who's the agent of change. I want you to be a Ben Torah. I want you to be a Talmud Chacham. And I'm inviting you to share what you're learning. I'm inviting you to seed our home with that sort of holy, happy, healthy, spiritual edification of Talmud Torah Ba'abayis. We should talk about Zocha. To think about this in the week and a half that remain from now until Shavuos, how we can transform our relationship with Torah and our family's relationship with Torah and the place of Torah in our home. Thank you so, so much. Have a marvelous, transformative day.